You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
And this morning we are joined by political commentator Mark Dalder, and we will be chatting all about the first leaders' debate, which aired on Tuesday night. Morena, Mark, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you, Zoe?
I'm well, thanks. So Tuesday night we saw Prime Minister Chris Hipkins debate Leader of the Opposition Christopher Luxon. They touched on many topics, but what would you say your one-sentence summary of Tuesday night would be?
My one-sentence summary is probably something along the lines of it was rather unexciting from both of them, and Luxon maybe exceeded expectations, which were relatively low for him, while Hipkins didn't necessarily have any sort of big blowout moment that he might have wanted or needed.
Relatively unexciting is sort of what we've been seeing across the board from a lot of people. Were you expecting it to be more of a spectacle?
Yeah, I think, there was an attitude that with Labour behind in the polls, they really need to take every opportunity they have to turn things around. And so I was expecting Hipkins to be much more aggressive, to be, you know, calling out Luxon a lot more than he ended up doing. There were a few parts of the debate where he did do that. Health he was quite good on, and co-governance as well. But overall, he let Luxon get his sort of hits in, and, there were no big moments, no show me the money line like the John Key debate, or, really nothing to sort of, I think, change anyone's mind about anything that was said on the stage.
And what do you think this speaks to, this sort of lack of aggression or lack of drama?
Yeah, it's a good question, because if you take it too far, it can definitely backfire. You know, you don't want to be seen as the guy who's being a bully while Luxon is standing there just trying to talk about his policies. But Luxon was very critical of Hipkins in the government. There was more room for Hipkins to be critical back. He did briefly go after Nationalist tax policies and tax plan on the costings issues, but even that was kind of half-hearted, I suppose, at best. I think they'll probably be rethinking their strategy for the next debate because, you know, as things are going, National can afford to keep doing what it's doing because that's clearly working. Labour doesn't have that luxury, and so they need to do something to turn it around.
And I mean, with the talks about the cost of living crisis and the economy and to tax or not to tax, how do you think Hipkins and also Luxon's responses alluded to what voters could potentially expect from either of them in the next government?
Yeah, I think, on the national side of things, it's pretty clear that they're pretty determined to get those tax cuts done. Even if they can't fully afford to pay for them, they will find some way to cover the cost. Nicola Willis said she'd quit as finance minister if she was elected and she wasn't able to, get that tax relief out the door. But she didn't say she'd quit if they couldn't find the same way to fund it as they've promised. So, that indicates what their priority is. On the Labour side of things, they've got this much more mixed offering, this 10-point cost of living plan, which includes things like the GST off fruit and vegetables, and continues policies that are already in place, like reduced public transport fares for young people and getting rid of that $5 prescription copay, and also a few other new things like free dental for people under 30. So I think from Labour you'd see quite a bit more of a mixed approach. My one overall comment is that both parties are talking a lot about how they'll bring inflation down, but the reality is inflation is already coming down. Unless a government does something really significantly inflationary, vast amounts of spending or something like that, inflation is on its way down. It's kind of like someone's thrown a ball in the air, and both National and Labour are running on the fact that they're going to make sure it comes down. It will. Gravity's taking care of that.
And another massive topic that, I mean, everyone is aware of, or at least should be, is climate change. The year we've had with floods and now El Nino on the way and the sort of drought that we are being told to expect, did either party, oh, Chris Hipkins and Christopher Luxon, offer any sort of solution that you think should actually be reassuring to us?
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear that Labour has put a lot more thought into its climate policy than National has. And to be fair, they have the advantage of having been in government and having to build up the current government's climate policy program, which is, you know, significant in scale. And so mostly it's a continuation of that. They do have a couple of policies on helping households decarbonize, subsidies for home solar and for insulation, for example, which can, you know, help reduce emissions quite a bit. And also, you know, touch on that cost of living element a little bit, you know, reducing your energy bills, keeping your house warm and dry, that sort of thing. On National's side, you know, I think they've got a rough plan. They've got plans to, you know, make it easier to consent renewable electricity generation. They say they'll rely on the emissions trading scheme a bit more, but I don't think that they've really got a viable path or a clear path to meeting our climate targets. Which, you know, they've said that they're dedicated to meeting, which is good. It's good to have that bipartisan agreement on where we're going, even if the how we get there is still being disagreed. But it's hard to see exactly how National's plan gets us to those targets. The disappointing thing for both of them, I think, is when they were asked what individually they were doing on climate change, and both of them mentioned recycling, which is not, you know, very good for the environment. Very good just because we don't want to be a country or a world that produces a lot of waste. But from a climate perspective in particular, recycling is not one of the best things you could do. Far better to drive less, to eat less meat and dairy, to use less electricity in your home. Recycling is by some measures 60th on the list of things you can do. So that was a bit disappointing from both of them.
Right. And I'm curious as to what you think of the way that each politician talks about the climate crisis. Do you think the way they communicate their ideas to the public is satisfactory? Do you think it gets the point or the urgency across at all?
I don't think either of them really have that urgency down in the same way that, say, the Greens do or Jacinda Ardern did. It was really interesting, actually, to hear Chris Hipkins say, when asked in that quick fire round, whether New Zealand was in a climate, whether the climate change was their generation's nuclear-free moment or their nuclear-free moment, which, of course, is Jacinda Ardern's phrase. And actually, in his first press conference after he became prime minister, or I think after he was picked as the next Labour leader, Chris Hipkins was asked that same question about nuclear-free moments, and he said, look, I don't really want to get into, you know, relying on nice phrases and things. For me, it's about the outcomes and getting the work done, which is interesting because that's basically what Christopher Luxon said on Tuesday, and Hipkins said, actually, yes, it is a nuclear-free moment. So clearly he's had maybe a bit of a change of heart there as to the importance of the issue, the urgency of the issue.
And before we wrap up, how do you think that Hipkins and Luxon are feeling now that the first leaders' debate is complete?
I think probably both of them will be feeling okay. You know, Hipkins might be disappointed that he didn't manage to do anything that probably is likely to turn the tide one way or another. But neither of them had a sort of flubbed moment of any sort of significance. Both of them made some promises that seem, a little bit off the cuff and had to be walked back a little bit later, but nothing, I would say, particularly major. Luxon in particular will be satisfied. He's not done that sort of debate before in a political context, although he was a high school debating champion. And, you know, going up against someone with quite a long experience in politics and coming out pretty much unscathed, that's good news for him. He can feel a bit more comfortable, a bit more confident, a bit more relaxed going into the next one. For Hipkins, you know, I don't think there was much of a question of him, you know, taking too many blows during the debate. It's just that he didn't manage to land any himself, and so next time he's going to be sort of brushing up, and hopefully, you know, if they really want to try and turn things around, figuring out some way to put Luxon on the back foot to get him out of his comfort zone and to, you know, basically make clear why you shouldn't vote for National, because the message of why you should vote for Labour clearly isn't working.
Mm. Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Mark, and we will be waiting to see what happens in the next debate.
Thanks so much for having me.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.